1240WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. Ed Marlow, the Paducah Sun, will be my guest. We'll join Ed in just a few minutes. We'll get you caught up on all the sports. Ahead of that, first of all, let's check out the college news for you. Good day for Murray State softball and baseball. The baseball team, 22 hits yesterday in an 18-5 crushing of Kentucky State. Tyler Dixon, 4 hits, 4 runs batted in. Jack Harnack, 4 hits, 4 runs batted in for the Racers. They improved to 12-15. Also, some history yesterday. The second triple play in the history of Murray State baseball turned in the 8th inning. Chad Gendron, also some history. His first win as a Racer. He had 3 innings of relief. The Racers are in Carbondale today for that game against SIU. Remember, that was a 5 p.m. game that's been moved up to 2 to try to beat the rain. Murray State softball, a good day yesterday, too. They had their game moved from a Wednesday to a Tuesday game because of the rain that's moving in, and they had 4 extra base hits en route to a 6-3 victory over Memphis. Brianna Fick, 2-for-2. Jocelyn Rogers, 2-for-3. She drove in 3 runs. Mason Robinson went the distance to improve to 9-8 on the season. Murray now 12-17 overall. They return home for 16 of the next 20 games at Racer Field, beginning with Eastern Illinois' 3-game set, with a doubleheader Saturday starting at 1 and a single game Sunday beginning at 1. The Kentucky Wildcats fans have to be happy today. Kentucky men's basketball point guard Tyler Ulis is a consensus first-team All-American. Ulis earned the honors yesterday after making the Associated Press All-America first team alongside Oklahoma's Buddy Hield, Virginia's Malcolm Brogdon, North Carolina's Bryce Johnson, and Michigan State's Denzel Valentine. Ulis is the only non-senior on the team. And at 5'9" tall, Ulis is the shortest All-American, AP All-American, since 5'9 Johnny O'Brien of Seattle in 1953. Let's get you caught up on the high school sports. Callaway County, tough one last night, losing to Crittenden County by a score of 3-1. Hickman County down Fulton City 10-0. Lexington, Alabama beat Mayfield 6-5, and then they beat Graves County 13-9. Tillman doubled up Carlisle County 8-4. Marshall County, a 9-4 winner over Lyon County. McCracken County defeated St. Mary 4-1. Caldwell County, a 10-0 winner over Livingston Central. And Trigg County, a 1-0 winner over Madisonville. In softball, Livingston Central scored 2 runs in the top of the 7th in a come-from-behind 3-2 victory over Callaway County. But Lakin Kelso was pretty good on the hill anyway. 15 strikeouts, but took the loss as the Lakers dropped to 5-5. Sophie Bingham scattered 3 hits and struck out 9 as Lyon County blanked Murray High 6-0. Not only did Bingham go the distance, she also helped her cause with a pair of runs batted in. With the loss, Murray drops to 6-5-1. Lyon County, they're having a good year. They're 10-2. Another softball, Carlisle County, a 9-3 win over Ballard Memorial. Christian County beat Graves County 8-3. Marshall County, a 10-0 run rule win over Tillman. Trigg County went 8 innings to down Christian Fellowship 5-3, and Caldwell County was a 3-2 winner over Hopkins Central. Congratulations. According to the Paducah Sun, Callaway County's Lily Lowe broke the 2A state record in the high jump on Saturday with a jump of 5 feet, 10.25 inches. That was at the Invitational of the South Track and Field Meet of Marshall County. The jump also gave her the second-best outdoor jump in the country this season. Lowe is a Lakers senior who has signed with the University of Hawaii, and Risa, who works here at the station, that is her, I think, her niece. So she's pretty proud of her, and who wouldn't be? Man, get to go to Hawaii for college. That's pretty cool. Now, Lowe, this isn't a Mary-come-lately. If there's a Johnny-come-lately, there has to be a Mary-come-lately. Not a Lily-come-lately, anyway. She has won the state championship in the high jump each of the past 3 years, going for 4 straight state championships. That's mighty impressive. Paducah Tillman girls basketball coach Jim Larson will not return for a second season. He was let go after his team went 10-18. The former Livingston Central coach had replaced Rod Thomas, who stepped down to become assistant for the boys team on which his son plays. All right, coming up next, Ed Marlow will join me, but first, let's get a Cardinals baseball update.
Well, it became an early day yesterday at Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, Florida, as the Cardinals and the Nationals called it quits with the game in the top of the 3rd inning, 2 outs and a 1-1 count on the Nationals starter, Steven Strasburg. Big bolt of lightning forced the umpires to clear the field, send the players to the dugouts, and then they went to the clubhouses in right center and left center field, and that was pretty much the end of it with heavy rain in the area. 1-0, the Nationals had the lead as Stephen Drew reached on a bunt single, moved to third on a base hit by Scott Sizemore, and scored on a sacrifice fly by Jose Lobaton. Strasburg fouled a pitch past first base, and a big bolt of lightning then moved the players off the field. Adam Wainwright tuned up for his opening day start, going 3 2/3. He gave up 1 run, 5 hits, with 1 walk and 1 strikeout. The Cardinals play against the Nationals on Thursday. That's our next broadcast. Mike Leake will go, and 11:55 will be broadcast time. We hope you'll join us. A rainout yesterday at Roger Dean. I'm John Rooney.
Welcome back to the program. As promised, Ed Marlow, the Paducah Sun, joins me. We're going to talk some spring sports, and I'm going to start with high school baseball, Ed. As we've been talking, that McCracken County, no doubt, probably the team to beat, but Murray High, they're starting to make noise. They're still unbeaten, and they will get a big test next week at the Cal Ripken Experience in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, against some pretty tough teams there. But it doesn't to me matter where you're playing. If you're winning all your games, that at least sends up a signal that you might be pretty good.
Mike and I have talked a lot about that. There's probably no question, just from a lineup standpoint and even from a challenge standpoint, where their schedule has been so tough, that McCracken deserves to be the number one team in the state. I believe their 2 losses come kind of out of the region for sure. But the one thing that I will say, for Murray to be 8-0 with a new head coach, and it's not that the players are new. You know, you've got a lot of guys that have been in that system for a while, a good senior class. But to have an 8-0 start, I don't care who you're playing, baseball-wise, that's tough to do.
Yeah.
They've beaten some solid teams along the way from a regional standpoint. And, you know, certainly, you know, I'm probably waiting to see just kind of, you know, where they fall in the middle of things and when they get to the middle of their pitching. And maybe, you know, on a back-to-back or something like that, how tough it can be to come away with another win. But there's no question that Murray has done a great job to start the season. And I think a lot of it just comes down to their hitting. I think a lot of it, that the top of that lineup, top 5 hitters, are playing really well right now. And then not only that, but they've got an ace in Chase Nelson. He's a great pitcher. He was good last year. I do believe he's either 2-0 or 3-0 right now, and has just pitched really well for them here in the early start of the season. And so there's no question. I know at some point Mike Stinson, my counterpart at the Sun, will get over to see Murray at some point. We've heard some great things about Callaway. Mike's looking forward to getting over to the 4th District as soon as he can, but when the season starts, Mike and I always have to take a look at McCracken and what the Paducah teams are doing first. And then as the season kind of starts to figure itself out, we start taking a look at how the rest of the region stacks up to the teams in Paducah. So, but no doubt, Neil, you bring up a great point. Murray off to a great start. A couple other teams around the area that are undefeated. I do believe Caldwell County is also 8-0. They're playing really well. Former Murray High pitcher and Luke Brown has played well. But the story there is Shane Burns, their quarterback and also starting pitcher, playing out of his mind. I'm pretty sure he has anywhere between, I think, 38 strikeouts.
Wow.
Has thrown 2 no-hitters in the region. So he's and just a sophomore. So Murray playing really well right now. Caldwell playing really well, even though it's a little bit out of this first region area. And then, of course, McCracken, I believe, is 7-2. They beat St. Mary last night, I think either 4-1 or 4-2. I know they were up pretty big there late in the 6th inning. So some good baseball already being played, and you just never know. You want to come out hot and keep it going, but you want to be playing your best baseball in late May, kind of like how you want to be playing your best basketball in late March. So it's all good now, but if you don't pitch when it matters and hit when it matters in late May in the district and regional tournaments, and then even at the state tournament, it's all for naught. So we'll see how it goes.
Softball side, McCracken County still seems to be heads above most teams. But Marshall County, I've noticed, playing well recently, getting the big win, really pounding Murray with a good offensive onslaught last Friday. Blanking, Tillman. So they're starting to make a little bit of noise, but McCracken County seems to be pretty much above everybody else at the moment, right?
That's certainly true. But the one thing I will say about Marshall County, and again, I have just, it's 10 days into the season, I have only seen probably four or five teams. But the one thing I have noticed about Marshall County, it isn't so much, I mean, they've got a solid pitcher in Gabby Snow, a hard-throwing sophomore. But what's so special about them is just their lineup. They're hitting the ball really well right now. After losing 16-4 to McCracken County to open their season, that's a credit to McCracken's pitching. Marshall County can hit top to bottom. They're averaging, Marshall is, 14 runs per game during the six-game winning streak. So
wow.
After starting their season with that loss, they're averaging a good amount of runs. I think they've scored 72 runs over the last 5.5 games. And so, you know, that's last night, Abby Thiesinger, 2-for-3, a triple, and a two-run homer over the center field fence. So it's just, you know, I've seen Marshall quite a bit just in my, you know, previous years at the Murray Ledger and Times, with that being the fourth district and how important those battles are, and just seeing this lineup this year. It's pretty impressive from top to bottom. Lead off Lexi Miller. Thiesinger hits third. Even down to 8 and 9, Gracie Mert, Addie Young, they're hitting really well for Marshall right now. And that's always going to bode well when the bottom of your lineup can provide that type of punch. So I don't know. We'll see. The fourth district is hardly over. Still got to play Murray again. Still got to play Callaway twice. And Callaway may be young, but they're feisty. And last night was a tough loss to Livingston Central. But they've got some great pitching over there in Lake and Kelso. And Murray, you know, I think once they sharpen their gloves in the field and get some of their pitching healthy and back, you know, they're the defending champion in the district. So, you know, the fourth district, I think, still has a long way to go. But Marshall off to a great start. Their lineup, probably as potent as I've seen in a while, and maybe right now the second best team in the region.
A couple other notes that I noticed in the Sun: Paducah Tillman girls basketball coach Jim Larson out, so Tillman will have their third girls coach in as many years. Rod Thomas, I thought, did a great job there, stepped down so he could kind of be with his son on the boys team as an assistant coach. But any hint on the direction Tillman will be going there?
I really don't know. I think Mike and I were kind of surprised by the news yesterday. Just from a holistic standpoint, you know, the season's over. I thought Tillman did a good job regrouping. I know they had some trouble there in the middle of the season, but they did a really good job regrouping. Made the first region semis with the best possible draw. Had to play Murray in the second round, and that was fun for no one this year, as we remember. But it's just, you know, Mike and I aren't really sure. We talked a lot about it yesterday, and it was kind of one of those situations where we're not really sure why the timing. You know, the season is over, but AAU is about to start. You know, teams are still, you know, you're still kind of in that window of opportunity to kind of recap the season. You know, talk with your players, talk about your seniors and send off the program in the right way. And I don't know. I'm not really sure what's going on with Tillman management. I wish I knew. I think Mike wishes he knew. We'll keep our ear to the door. We're not really sure which direction Tillman is going to go. It is tough to think that this will be their third coach in 3 years. I'm not really sure from a local standpoint if there's a basketball coach that is ready to kind of take that on. I know that Tillman has a lot of youth coming up as far as talent is concerned. They'll have two or three sophomores and, you know, a couple juniors next season that will, you know, hopefully be ready to take up the mantle that, you know, Mariah Donaldson and Whitney Shaw and players like, you know, of the caliber, you know, have put up over the last two or three years. But I'm not really sure. You know, Mike and I'll, like, again, we'll pay a lot of attention to that and try to figure it out. And kind of goes with the football situation as well. We're not really sure what direction they're going to go with football since Mike Rogers has stepped down. So I don't know, a lot going on at Tillman, and Tillman will be in the news for the next couple weeks, you know, as they try to figure out their coaching situations for the next season.
I know we don't talk a lot of track and field, but we have a special athlete, not just here in Murray, but also in Western Kentucky, and Lily Lowe, and Saturday at the Invitational of the South Track and Field Meet at Marshall County, she broke the 2A state record in the high jump with a jump of 5 feet, 10.25 inches. She's already committed to the University of Hawaii, and she's going to go for a fourth straight state championship in the high jump. That's fairly incredible, Ed.
Well, it really is. When I first took the job at the Murray Ledger and Times and started covering high school, I remember thinking, with track and field, that it was just crazy that she had done it a couple of times. Interesting relationship there between her and Murray's Grace Campbell, two of the best high jumpers in the state, maybe in this region, and now Lily proving that she's one of the best high jumpers in the nation. I do believe her 5'10" and one quarter inch is second in the United States. Might want to go back and double check that, but I do believe that's the case. And when you're that good at one particular event, and Lily's good, in multiple events, she'll represent Callaway County in several categories at the state tournament, as will Greg Campbell for Murray High. But just talking about Lily, she's extremely talented. There's no question, and certainly when you put up that type of a mark this early in the track season's really only been in full throes for about 3.5 weeks now, about the same time baseball and softball started practice. Track season started to kind of meet up and kick off, and so if you're already at this point jumping 5'10 and a quarter inch, I would not be surprised if at the state tournament she jumps better than that, just to kind of set the mark and proverbially, set the bar a little higher. She's an incredible athlete, incredibly talented, and certainly has the willpower and the drive and determination to do just that. I don't want to say she could jump 6 feet. That might be a goal that she has for this season, by the time her season is over, to jump 6 feet. But I'm not putting it out of the realm of possibility at all. She is certainly capable of improving on her 5'10 and a quarter, and I look for her to do it just before the season is over.
All right, we have Final Four weekend, national championship game Monday. How's your bracket? Well, you do is like a million brackets, but do you have any where you're doing well?
Well, no. My problem was this year, and I really shouldn't have put all my eggs in one basket. I didn't take it very seriously. I only did one paid bracket, and then the other two I kind of did as a joke just because I was so frustrated with mid-majors being left out of the bracket. That being said, I won't make up any excuses. I did pick the University of Kentucky to win another national championship. It's ninth. I thought the way that they played in the SEC tournament and just really toward the end of the season voted well. And I even thought with their tough seeding, that they had a chance. I thought that they would get past Indiana, really give UNC fits and make it all the way to at least the Final Four. That being said, when UK lost, that was the end of my bracket. But my one thing that I was really happy about, to take any sort of consolation, I did get one Final Four team right, which in this tournament, it's not too bad considering how crazy it's been. And I did pick Villanova. Kansas. I had Villanova in the Final Four. Right. That's how I felt, too. I was like, oh, yeah, I got one.
I got two, but I didn't pick Villanova.
Yeah, I picked Villanova. I know Kansas was the number one overall seed for this tournament, but they've broken hearts time and again. And Villanova, I thought, was really good. Jay Wright, had the Villanova Wildcats playing really well all year. I knew defensively they were extremely tough, and I knew Kansas would give them a tough fight. But I thought Villanova had a great chance to make it all the way to the Final Four, and certainly. So, excuse me. You know, you call me so early in the morning.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But Villanova, I'm not surprised to see them in the Final Four at all. To be honest. And I think they've got a great shot to win the national championship. The only problem is they've got to get past Buddy Hield, who is quite possibly the best college basketball player this year. So we'll see. I haven't all the rest of my other brackets though are pretty much busted.
I only did two, and I haven't even looked at the other one. I did one for Froggy, which they just said, "Hey, can you do one?" Came in here and did it in front of. I don't even remember what I picked, but the one that I do have, I did pick North Carolina to win it. Picked them to play Oklahoma in the championship game. If that happens, I think it's probably the best remaining team versus the best remaining player. But who knows if the opposite could possibly happen? But if we get that game, I think that would be a terrific game.
Well, if you hit that game, I know a lot of brackets hit that game. But if you hit, it's kind of like a good game of Plinko. It's like if you hit all the other games the right way, then your bracket will look pretty. Mine wasn't too bad after days one and two. I picked several of those upsets. I wasn't surprised to see Stephen F. Austin. I wasn't surprised to see Hawaii. I think I just took some of the double-digit seeds too far.
Yeah.
I even picked UNI. Now, I didn't know UNI was going to win on a half-court buzzer beater. But I picked UNI to beat Texas. You know, I picked several of the upsets, and I was proud of that. I even had Wichita State in the Sweet 16 because, I wasn't going to be surprised if they came away with that first-round victory. And so
what was your worst pick? I'll tell you mine. You tell me yours.
Oh, my worst pick? Oh, Austin Peay over Kansas.
Oh,
sure.
Ooh, gosh. Okay. I don't feel so bad. I picked Chattanooga to beat Indiana.
No, that's not a bad pick. And, I picked Chattanooga to beat Indiana, too.
That didn't work out.
I mean, Chad, the Mocs, I didn't keep up with them too terribly much, this year, but with them being close enough, I noticed, they were 26-5 and 27-5, and then they won the SoCon. And I wasn't surprised. That was a trendy upset pick. Chattanooga played a really slow style, liked to really trap in the half court, played good defense, and Indiana's turnover prone. I mean, for as good as they've been all year, their biggest problem was they couldn't stop turning the ball over. And it really wasn't even Yogi Ferrell's fault. He played exceptional basketball this year, senior point guard for Tom Crean's bunch. But it was a lot of it just came down to them trying to run in this fast-paced offense and never really being able to contain themselves off the dribble. And that was their problem. I think they were averaging anywhere between 16, 17 turnovers a game. And Chattanooga like to play very methodically, slow pace, really kind of controlled tempo and did a really good job on defense. And the Mocs were known for that for most of the year. So that was a trendy upset pick. Now, I really just picked Austin Peay just to spite the bracket. But, I was on that note, I was impressed with Austin Peay's run. I knew they weren't going to beat Kansas when I picked it. But it was just one of those situations where – I just really enjoyed seeing that game. I watched it wire to wire, and, I really didn't think Austin Peay played that bad. They just didn't have the weapons to really match Kansas's firepower, and that's really what it boiled down to.
Pretty much. Major League Baseball, before I let you go, the season begins Sunday for the Cardinals. I know they play the Pirates. We, of course, carry the Cardinal games on WNBS. I know you're a Reds fan. Across the window, Travis Turner and Brad Burns, they're recording Travis's show for today. I think they're taking a look at the National League Central. And Brad, he's a huge Reds fan as well, so he has a Reds shirt on. First, I thought it was a minor league shirt, but it turns out it's pretty much the same thing. Anyway, what do you think? National League Central, it seems as if the Cubs are just being handed the world championship. But let's start with the Central Division. What do you think about that, Ed?
Oh, it's first of all, I think the National League Central, I don't think anybody, I mean, I say that, maybe I'm disparaging it for that very reason, I'm just not really sure, but the National League Central is always one of the toughest divisions. I don't care, even the bottom of the division is going to beat up on the top of the division. In my opinion, I feel like the last two or three years, the National League Central has been one of the toughest, whether it was the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Pirates, even the Reds, I think, snuck in over the last two or three years on the wild card. It's just, Milwaukee, it's tough. It's extremely tough to make it out of the National League Central and be productive. And usually a team that makes it out of the National League Central makes it to the NLCS. And I know that that's a fairly recent trend, but a trade that you can kind of bet on. I mean, if you can make it out of that gauntlet, you know, you're a good team. You've got the pitching to last in a five-game series or a seven-game series. You've got the hitting to go back-to-back or, you know, hit the road and come home. You know, and I've always, like, just prided myself knowing, you know, as a Reds fan, that whoever makes it out of the National League Central, you've taken a beating all year just because of the division itself. That being said, this season, the one thing that I will say, I was reading the Cardinals story the other day, and my eyes were bleeding the entire time. But, you know, reading the Cardinals, you know, their hopes this season, I think people are forgetting this is one of the best pitching staffs in the country. And to just go ahead and shoe in the Cubs as National League Central pennant winners and, you know, division winners, and let's go ahead and put them in the World Series, I don't want to say it's shoehorning. I don't want to say it's just, well, they'll do it. Let's just go ahead and pencil them in. They had a great offseason. But, you know, you don't want to forget about the Cardinals. You don't want to forget about the Pirates. You know, I mean, McCutcheon's going to have something to say about that for sure. I wouldn't even want to forget about, I mean, the Reds. I mean, let's face it. I'll be honest. I don't necessarily think the Reds will finish last. But they certainly have a lot of soul searching to do. Brandon Phillips and Joey Votto, can only go so far offensively, and the pitching rotation. Homer Bailey I believe he's out for the year with Tommy John. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll just have to see. But I think people forget that while the Cubs certainly had a great offseason and looked good on paper offensively and played really well in the postseason last year for the first time in, I don't know, 15 years, and really the first time in 100 years, the Cardinals pitching rotation, I wouldn't want to play against that at all, and should be good enough. I don't want to jinx your car, Neil, but should be good enough to win 85 to 90 games.
No, I would think maybe so. Yeah, I think so. The Cubs not having a good spring, just 9-17. But I know a lot of times that's kind of a mixed thing that you can't read too much into that. Cardinals they didn't have a good spring, 9-13. The Pirates 7-20. You know they're going to be pretty good, but it should be a good race. I still believe just from a talent standpoint the Cubs have it. But I have tons of Cubs friends. I'm not sure how that happened. But even they agree, the Cubs are the Cubs, and even if they're the team, this is what they're telling me. They say even if we're the team, we'll find some way to screw it up. So that's how little faith they have in their team, no matter how good they are.
Well, and maybe that's just Cubs fans doing the reverse jinx.
It could be.
You know, I remember when the Reds got swept by the Giants, had that big National League Central season. I believe it was 2010, got swept by the Giants. And I remember even that next season trying to reverse jinx myself. I'm like, well, you know, can't do any worse than getting swept by the Giants, which, you know, the Giants did go on to win the pennant that year. And then they won the World Series that year. They won it in 2010, and then they won it, what, 2 years later? And then they won it 2 years later.
I know it, yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where you're just like, okay, well, whatever. All right. Well, you can't do worse than getting swept by the Giants. Oh, yeah, you can. You can not make the playoff, you know. And then a couple years later, you can trade everybody off. So, I don't know. Reverse jinxes, maybe. Maybe they don't work. I can understand as a Cubs fan last year being just the highlight of, like, life just because, you know, I'm sure it's been hard. I can't imagine, you know, back in the early 2000s, those Cubs teams were really good. Should have won a series or at least been in one. You know, the curse from the fan catching the fly ball and Moises Alou getting really mad about it. I mean, I can understand. There's a lot of resentment and anger and frustration not being in the World Series in the last 15 to 20 years, but. You know, there's no question that they got better this offseason with some of those signings. They got Zobrist. They got Zobrist. They got Jason Hayward. I mean, they just, oof, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it certainly, I feel like the National League Central will be one of the more fun races to watch in September. Who knows? Maybe the Cubs have run away with it by that point. Maybe the Cardinals are neck and neck. Maybe the Pirates are right there. Heck, maybe my Reds are even 500. You never know. Maybe we can play. Maybe we can play spoiler and hopefully make it in. I don't see us winning the Central at all. As a matter of fact, we'll probably finish 15 to 20 games back. Love to see us spoil a few series, though. That'd be great. Upset a few people. Maybe keep somebody out of the playoffs. Keep them down with us. But I don't know. I agree with you, Neil. It should be a fun race. The Cubs will certainly probably be the favorite, but I can't count out the Cards. You can never, ever, ever count out the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, they should be hanging in it. Ed, I appreciate the visit. Be looking forward to chatting with you next week. Maybe we'll have some Murray State news to report as well, all right?
Not a problem. Thanks, Neil.
That is Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun. All right, Ed, appreciate it. Thanks for all your time today.
Not a problem. I was going to tell you really quick, here in about an hour and a half, I'm actually